Hello everyone, my name is Ratish Nair. In this session, we will be looking at the various characteristics of seed. Seed, as we all know, is the basic form from which all plants derive. This is the basis of life, and this is also the basic raw material when it comes to agriculture and allied activities. It is the most critical part and the most critical input for crop production. It is used for raising crops, and it is also characterized as a living organism or a living organization in a very small packet. Contrary to popular belief, it is not possible to store a seed for a long time. It has a shelf life, and after a particular time period, seeds lose its viability. And hence it is important that we understand how do we manage, how do we create seeds, manage them, and how do we look at the seed as an organism itself. Now, the success and failure of any crop to a very large extent depends on the quality of seed and the material inside it. If I have to give you an example today, you must have heard about a story that does rounds on social media about a watermelon farmer in a village who used to have watermelon eating contests for the kids in the village. He used to give the biggest and the most luscious watermelon to the kids in the village. Their only activity was they have to ensure that they do not swallow or break the seeds. Every kid who consumed the watermelon had to keep the seeds in a vessel near them. The kid who collects the maximum number of seeds gets the prize. Obviously, when the farmer grew old and his children, who were much more educated than him, started looking into the business, they started giving the lesser quality watermelons and the smaller sized watermelons to the kids in the competition. And the bigger ones were exported or used for other purposes, which would generate money. Over time, they found out that the quality of watermelon being produced reduced considerably. And when they asked their father for a suggestion, he said that the best quality watermelon were given to the student, to the children, so that the seeds could be collected and resowed so that they get a better crop. Using this technique, the farmer ensured that every year when he sowed watermelon seeds, he ensured a better product came out of it. And hence it is important for us to understand that whether a crop succeeds or fails, 90% of the time it depends on the quality of the seed. Now, when a small seed germinates, there is a new plant that comes into picture. In fact, a seed also carries an entire tree within itself. And hence, if the seed does not get proper moisture, proper nutrition, it is a life wasted. The seed is also not just the initial life form or the initial form of a plant or a tree. It also performs an important function in the nature, that is perpetuation of a species and multiplication and dissemination of that species in nature. Now, all flowering plants, or rather all plants, may not necessarily bear seeds. For example, a fern propagates itself through spores like a fungus. But in certain other plants, the seeds may not necessarily be born. The mother plant may give rise to smaller saplings, which can be taken away and planted somewhere else. So these are various types of propagation that plants show with or without the seeds. In this session, we will look at each of these methods in detail. Now, the weight and size of every seed varies greatly across the species. For example, an orchid plant has a seed which is hardly a milligram in weight. Whereas if you look at chestnuts or some other big nut trees, their seeds actually are pretty big, almost as big as a grapefruit. Now, the size of the seed depends on the form of the ovary, the location of the seed, the fruit of the mother plant, and several such conditions. A basic seed, a general outlook of a seed can be, they can be divided into three parts. One is the embryo, the endosperm, and the seed coat. The embryo is where the life of the seed is stored. This portion of the seed later on transforms itself into a plant or a tree. The endosperm is an area where energy is stored in the form of nutrition. This nutrition helps the embryo to develop itself during germination and further growth. The seed coat basically shields the entire setup, including the embryo and endosperm, from external weather and other harmful conditions. In case of vegetatively propagated crops, the seed has multiple levels. So the definition of seed in vegetative propagation changes completely. Here we have rhizosomes, bulbs, stem cuttings, cromes, and things like that. Now here the seed is maybe a stem which is inserted into another plant's stem so that it can propagate. It can be merely a twig, for example, if someone is cultivating curry leaves, a simple twig of curry leaf planted in the soil can become the seed for that plant. It starts developing roots and buds on either ends of its size and structure. The viability and germinability of any seed, it's a critical part for the commercialization of a crop cultivation. If the seed is not viable, if it is not germinable, the crop fails, and of course, the end result is monetary or commercial failure of the crop. Now, all the phenotypic and genotypic characteristics of the crop, which decide whether the crop is going to be profitable, is enclosed within that seed, and it is also a part of its genetic material. So genetically, if a seed is weak, the crop will be weak. If genetically the seed is strong, the crop will be much, much more profitable and viable. Now, any new beneficial characteristics such as high yield, resistance to pest, disease responsiveness, fertilizer responsiveness, all of this can be built into this. It's a part of the qualitative character of the seed, and it passes on from one generation to another within the plants. Scientific developments have actually ensured that certain characteristics like these can be embedded into the genetic material of the plant. And this plant, through its seeds, carries this technology further to various other generations. Now, one more thing that we need to understand, that once the seed input has happened, it is irreversible. A seed sown will germinate or it will get destroyed. It can never revert back to the seed form. And hence, it is very important for all of us to understand that a bad quality seed, if selected and sowed, there is no turning back from it. You will either have a bad crop or you will have a destroyed crop. If you look at a seed lot, you know, what you need to actually look at is whether it has high genetic purity, whether it has a high number of germination percentage, if you sow, say, 10 seeds and only 2 of them germinate, that's not a good, you know, positive sign. You have to have a high germination percentage, and ideally, an agriculturist looks at nothing less than 75 to 80% germination. And that too is a very pessimistic outlook. You also need to look at what are the other aspects like the inert matter, the weed, and other crop seeds. Are these seeds free from diseases? If they fall into all these parameters, you can say safely that you have a high seed quality. Now, a few seed quality characteristics, if we have to list them down, are these. It is improved variety. Do you have many varieties of the same type of crop? So you may have a rice, which is not in within, even with rice, within white rice, there are multiple types, multiple varieties. Then there is a brown rice and there is a purple rice. So number of varieties also determine seed quality. The genetic purity of that seed. Is there a hybrid, or is it a pure single form of a plant type? The physical purity. Does it have any other external, plant life forms embedded onto it? The vigor of the seed, the germination capability of the seed, planting value. Once you have planted the seed, does it add value or is it going to be a dud? The seed health as well as the seed moisture is very important. If the moisture is very high in a seed, it will decompose. and the plant will never come out. If it is too low, it kind of becomes dormant and there is no life coming out of it. The government of India's minimum seed certification standards lays out certain characteristics for a pure seed. It says that a pure seed is genetically pure, has minimum genetic contamination from diseased or volunteer plants. A volunteer plant is something that accidentally gets created, either through circulation of seed through air or accidentally sowing the wrong type of seed. They do not happen on purpose, but just happens naturally. The problem with volunteer plants is that you really do not know what kind of quality the plant that is coming out from a volunteer seed is, and hence you do not have control on that. Another characteristic that the standard sets is it should have a minimum isolation requirement. The number of seed inflection, or rather the seed stress, should be lesser. And at specific stages of the crop, we should ensure that the genetic purity and other quality factors are maintained. The seed standard consists of minimum percentage of pure seeds, maximum permissible limit for inert matter and other crop seeds, maximum permissible limit for objectionable weeds, seeds infected by seed-borne diseases, and maximum permissible limit for moisture content and safe storage of seeds. Let's now look at various methods of propagation of seed. The first method, let's see that, you know, most of the field crops, rather the cereals, the pulses, your rice, wheat, lentils, all of them are raised from seeds. Horticulture is generally used for flowers, whether they are for decoration or herbal usage, fruits, and certain vegetables. They are all forming a part of horticulture. And either of them have various methods of propagation. Horticulture generally relies on vegetative propagation methods. Now, let's look at raising a plant from the seeds. This is also called as the sexual method. Why is it called a sexual method? Because the male gamete and the female gamete of a plant comes together through pollination and gives result to the seed being formed. Now, mature seeds are used for such propagation. The germination of seeds from this method depends on the age, the stage of maturity at which it is, the viability of the seeds, and we can also look at the water content that is getting exposed, the supply of oxygen to the seeds. If the coat is very high, we will look at how the seed coat being too hard creates a problem for the seed. But even in this case, the supply of oxygen becomes restricted if the seed coat is very hard. We also need to look at the temperature at which the seed is sown. If it is sown in a very hot and arid climate, the seeds will dry up and never germinate. It will become inert. If it is sowed in a very moist, almost clay-like soil, the seed will decompose. If it is exposed to too much sunlight, again, the germination will get affected. Before sowing, the viability of the seeds need to be tested. Once you have sown, there is no way of testing a plant's viability or a seed's viability. And hence, it is important that the viability is pre-tested and then the seed is used. Now, some seeds, like I mentioned earlier, do not germinate very easily because either there is a dormancy inside, the embryo is dormant and does not have a life in it, or because the seed coat is very hard and it does not allow germination. How do we tackle hard coats? There are multiple ways of doing it. Either you can, you know, use abrasion or mechanical means by cracking open the hard coat using some mechanical force. In certain cases, you can soak the seed in water for a considerable amount of time before putting it back into the soil. And there are multiple ways like acid scarification or stratification, treating it with chemicals so that the coat becomes soft. If I have to give you an example, the seeds of coriander have a naturally hard outer shell. In this case, before planting the seed for coriander, the person has to mechanically break open the outer hard shell. Only then can they plant coriander and ensure that the germination happens. In vegetative method, which is also known as the asexual method, generally it involves certain cuttings of stems, roots, leaves, tubers, and things like that. Here, a stem or a leaf is used to propagate a plant. A very simple, homely example would be the money plant. All of us have money plants in our house, and we can see that money plants can generally grow if you just take a stem out of an existing money plant and just put it in a bottle of water. Within a few days, it starts developing roots and starts giving additional shoots. A lot of other plants, especially in the horticulture section, can be developed using asexual methods, which is a vegetative propagation. Layering is another method here, where a root is induced into a stem. And once the stem develops its own root formation, it is detached and placed in the soil. Division is another method that you can find in such vegetative propagation methodologies, where the plant which produces masses of stem on the ground level, which is then separated from the mother plant and divided into individual plants. Strawberry, for example, shows this method. People who have planted strawberries may have observed that a separate section, like a creeper-like section, crawls out onto the ground away from the plant and gives rise to a new plant. Separation is the fourth method of vegetative propagation. Here, rooted or non-rooted parts of the plant usually detach themselves on maturity and start to develop as a new individual plant. If you have a spider plant at home, you may observe that there are sometimes an additional shoot coming out of a spider plant, which may or may not detach itself from the mother plant and become a separate plant altogether. Another method, a very common method of vegetative propagation, is grafting. So there are multiple types of grafting. There is an inarching, there is a side grafting, splice grafting. Right, so all these kind of things are generally used for either fruit trees and plants, or it is used for flowering plants. For example, inarching can be very commonly seen in roses, side grafting can be seen in camellias, and many fruits like avla, mango, sapota, and all are using this grafting methodology to propagate itself. Budding is a very rare but a commonly seen method of vegetative propagation for fruits like avla, bear, and mandarin orange. It is basically when a plant starts forming a vegetative bud on itself. This bud can be removed from the mother plant and attached to a suitable rootstock and planted into the soil. Again, this bud is not a seed. You need to understand that there is a difference between a bud and a seed. A seed has a hard coat, an embryo, and an endosperm in it. A bud is not necessarily like that. It is a small fleshy portion of the plant, which, if introduced to a nutrition-giving agent, can give rise to a new plant. Tissue culture is more or less a laboratory-based method of propagation. Here, certain plant tissue material is removed from the mother plant. It is put into a nutrient base, and a new plant is developed from it. This is a technique of maintaining and growing aseptically plant cells, tissues, or organs, rather parts, on an artificial medium. This entire activity is done in a very controlled environment and condition, and hence it requires a lot of efforts and machinery and mechanisms to ensure that tissue culture is successful. In tissue culture, the part of the plant which is used for tissue culture is called an explant. For example, if we take up the bark or the stem or the leaf of a plant and we use it on tissue culture, that portion is called the explant of that mother plant. Now, plant tissue culture basically relies on the fact that the plants have a capacity to generate a whole plant from any cell or explant. In this case, this is called cellular totipotency. Its entire basis is on an assumption that any part of a plant can give rise to an entire new plant. There are certain plants which do not follow this rule, and hence tissue culture cannot be used on it. Thank you.